Blog Talk Radio.
Dynamite show in store for you. What I'd like to do is tell you a little bit about what the show's, a little bit about what we are and who we are and how we're going about it. And I'm going to first give you a number because I want you to call and get involved. You could get on the chat room. In fact, I'm going to have my executive producer and chief engineer, Junebug, tell you a little bit about the chat room. Junebug, would you tell him?
Well, the chat room's open. You can do it one or two ways. You can log into your computer and log on to Blog Talk Radio and sign in with your sign-in login, and you'll see the chat room, and then all you got to do is click on the chat room and open it up, and we'll be here to talk to you.
All right, that sounds good, Jimmy. Even I could figure that one out. And anyway, the name of the show is Police Talk Radio. What we are is a very pro-police radio show. There's enough anti-police media out there. You go to the Communist News Network or MSNBC, the network affiliates. The only one that I listen to, it's a personal preference, is Fox. I think they're pretty much fair about things. But we are a very pro-police voice. Nobody could be a voice of law enforcement, but we are a voice for law enforcement here on Police Talk Radio. This show emanated from what we started about 8 months ago or so, called Police Supporter. And we're out there on Facebook, Police Supporter. You could check us out, see what we're about. You could go to Blog Talk Radio, see what Police Talk Radio is about. We're also on Facebook with Police Talk Radio. We're all over the place. But this show, we try to bring out the things that the media will not cover or that the media gives such a slanted performance, I guess, is the best word. It is a performance. It's not bringing you news. You have people that are, I kind of think of like pimping for advertising dollars. Whatever they can do to make it sensationalized with blood and guts, and the police are always, they're always good targets. What the heck? When I look at police use of force, and I want you to think about this: police use of force, even when it's absolutely justified, it looks ugly on video. Now, I'm going to give you a number. I want you to write this down and call it. This is an important number. This is how you could get involved in the show. And we want your involvement. You're a part of Police Talk Radio. You're a part of being a voice for law enforcement. And we're going to try and bring things out and address them and tell you what's going on. Our number here, real simple, 646-929-0909. I'll give that to you again. The number here, 646-929-0909. That's Police Talk Radio. I want to cover a little bit about what's coming up in store for us this week. And this is an important week for you to show your support for law enforcement. Law enforcement takes I'll tell you, we've had our problems lately. And I want you to think about something. You know, we looked at those with the riots they had in Ferguson, Missouri, thousands of people, maybe 5,000, maybe not even that. Over in Baltimore, maybe a couple, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people, all the looting, burning, pillaging, plundering, throwing rocks and bricks and bottles at the law enforcement people. Under the right circumstances, if I'm out there and someone's going to throw some large piece of brick at me, I think it would be reasonable for me to be in imminent fear of death or great bodily harm. What does that mean? That means I am going to stop the threat. How do I stop a threat? The only way to stop a threat is with a firearm. Use pepper spray will slow them down. An arm lock will slow them down. A punch will slow them down. A strike with a baton will slow them down. Now, if somebody's throwing bricks at me, do I want them to stop or do I want them to slow down? Certainly, I want them to stop, and it would be reasonable for me, under those circumstances, to stop the threat by using deadly force. It's that simple. What I mentioned to you, those crowds, I mean, they got absolutely unruly. We had just chaos going on, and I mean, what they did to the businesses and how they did it, I mean, it was just, I cannot believe people act like that. Well, this past week, just a few days, a couple days ago, we had another group assembled, 10,000 people. But you know what? No one was arrested. No property was destroyed. No businesses were looted. No arsons were set. And I'll tell you why. This happened in Houston, Texas. Boy, there's a lot of stuff going on in Houston. But this was going on of something very proud. This was a pro-police demonstration for the officer Goforth, who got killed, assassinated, after hearing, I think, incendiary comments from various groups. And he was assassinated. A terrible thing. I don't like it. Nobody likes it. The media somewhat covered it a little bit better, but normally they don't cover how many people, I wonder, heard anything outside of, you know, being on Facebook and looking at police supporter on Facebook. But how much media coverage did you see on the 10,000 people? I'm talking national media coverage on the 10,000 people that were there to show a support for law enforcement. Very little, if any. What's wrong with this picture? Exactly. That's what's wrong with this picture. We get slanted performances. The media wants smiles. The media wants blood, not smiles. Blood sells. The bloodier, the better. Smiles are no good. That's kind of Pollyanna. Who wants to see people happy and smiling? That's not what the news is about. The news is about terrible things. Well, you know what? News, when we think about it, could be good news, could be bad news. That's what news is. And if you're going to report it, why not get a straight shake about it and say the good things that law enforcement has? But that's not done. We have left-leaning media. We have a current administration out of Washington. Their silence in support of law enforcement is deafening, absolutely deafening. And then we have groups like police, Black Lives Matter, funded with millions of dollars from hedge fund manager, uber-left billionaire George Soros. He gave them millions of dollars. In fact, they're headquartered in St. Louis, Missouri. They had things going on in Baltimore. They sent people there. They were paid for their travel, paid them so much a day to be there. And in essence, we had paid protesters. Boy, that one is really nice, isn't it? To have paid protesters and all of that going on. Anyway, I want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on this week with law enforcement. Law enforcement is going about we're going to go about a positive thing this week. We want to get the word out. We started something a while back. One of my relatives actually came up with this and didn't want to be identified because they're in a position where – this is terrible. They're in a position with their job. If they came out with something like that, they'd get flack for being too pro-law enforcement. What a horrible statement that is on American society. What a terrible statement that is on American society. That's all about all I could say. Is that who we are? Is that what we're about? We have to be ashamed of showing we're for the cops. Anyway, I agreed to it, and I understood it. I understood. We live in the real world. That's the real world. And we started off with Project Blue Lifesaver. The issue is with Project Blue Lifesaver, police officers save many, many, many more lives than they do take lives. Most of the time, the police officers, they get a rescue call. They'll be there before rescue, because rescue, if they're volunteers, they have to come in, or if they're in the station, they have to suit up and, you know, get in an ambulance and go and get there, and the cops are already on the road. The police are already out there. So a lot of times, by the time rescue squad gets there, the police are there and bring the person back, CPR or emergency medical assistance, stopping the bleeding. It's more and more police officers are carrying this Narcan. You get somebody that's overdosed on heroin or some type of opiate. You give them Narcan, you'll bring them back. It's almost a miracle. You bring them back to life. Police are out there giving CPR. They can a terrible wound. They can stop the bleeding. They even a lot of police departments are issuing tourniquets to carry in the police car in addition to Narcan. Those are all good things that law enforcement can do and save lives. And that's what we're about in law enforcement. We're about protecting lives. Do we have to take a life every so often? Yeah. But let me tell you, I don't know any police officer I ever met in my life, and I've been doing this law enforcement since 1968, people. I mean, I started when I was 20 years old as a Chicago police officer. I could not buy my gun, my handgun. I was too young to buy it since I was under 21. My dad had to buy my gun. I carried it as a police officer, but technically I guess I was in violation of federal law. So hopefully the statute of limitations ran out on that. If not, I'm sure the current attorney general and the Obama administration and Al Sharpton will put a few plugs in. They'll come and get me. Anyway, I'm going to talk to you what's going on this week in law enforcement. Again, our number, you want to give us a call, you have something to say, you want to put your two cents in, it's 646-929-0909. That number again here. At Police Talk Radio, a direct line, 646-929-0909. That's what we're all about. Now, when I look at what's going on, this week is special. This week is very special because things are going on starting actually on Thursday. Some very pro-police groups are 18, 19, and 20. It's like Police Support Weekend, Thank a Police Officer Weekend, and I'm all for that. And then 19th, which is Saturday, is Thank a Police Officer Day. And then we have on the 21st, I guess it is a Monday, they have Let's Light Up Blue America. Let's Light Up Blue America. In putting blue lights in your porch light, in your garage lights, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Project Blue Lifesaver. We started that, want people to go up to police officers very carefully, show them your hands, because they're a cautious lot, they should be, especially the way things are today. Let them see, don't herky-jerky movements. Hand them a roll of blue lifesavers. Those are Pepo Mint. Significance of that is obvious. They're blue and they're lifesavers. And you want to thank police officers for what they do and how they do it. I know we're starting a trend here at Police Supporter. We're starting a trend to make pro-police and a big thing, a good thing, a grassroots thing that'll blossom. And I think we're having that done. If you go to our Facebook page and you look under events, all the people we got involved, I cannot believe the wonderful, wonderful people that are pulling this thing off and making it happen. Well, Friday is when the start of the weekend is, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then remember, you have Monday for the blue lights, but Operation Blue Lifesaver, Thank a Police Officer Day, is Saturday the 19th. Go up to them, say thank you. Maybe you drop off some lifesavers or go to the police department and bring thank you cards and thank the officers. And you know what? These little acts of kindness, small acts of kindness, and they're not random, they're good, and they'll go a long way. Now, before I go into the exact particulars on what we're doing with Operation Blue Blitz, we got to have names. See, I've worked for governmental entities too long. We always got to name something. So we got Operation Blue Blitz, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about, if you want to show your support of law enforcement, you could do some of those things I'll cover with you. But also, we've got some great, great, great T-shirts. You go to the website, policesupporter.org, which is different than Facebook, supporter.org, and you can see our T-shirts. We ran out of small and mediums. We don't have small or medium. We have large, we have extra large, and we have double extra large. And all, these are Magnum weight, which are the 5 ounce heavyweight pre-shrunk 100% cotton. And over the left breast area is the Police Supporter logo, the same logo you'll see on the website or on our Facebook page. And under that is policesupporter.org. That's all it says. And you could show your support with the color. It's the royal blue. And then a non-metallic gold ink is the screening on the left side over the breast. I've seen these shirts advertised. One's not as good for up to $28.29.95. I see them frequently at $19.95. We have ours for $9.95. And somebody's saying, how do you make any money on that? You know what? We got to pay the bills like everybody else. I'm funding this out of pocket. I'm not crying because if you ever want to know why I'm doing the show or why I'm involved with Police Supporter, go to Police Supporter on Facebook. And when you go to the area that says About, hit About, and you'll get in that area and it says Long Description. And it'll tell you why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I mean this sincerely. I'm not playing off the Blues Brothers, but I mean this sincerely. I want you to think about this. I'm on a mission from God. I absolutely am. I wasn't reborn, but I had a spiritual awakening. I have no doubt in my mind that I was the recipient of a miracle. And I defied medical knowledge of what happened to me. And the only best answer I get is sometimes these things just happen from the doctors. Well, I know why it happened. I'm living for a greater purpose, and I know what I'm supposed to do. It's to support the men and women of law enforcement. Let me tell you, are there bad cops? Sure. There's bad doctors. There's bad lawyers. There's bad judges. There's bad everything. But I've been around law enforcement my entire life, and you couldn't ask for a better group of people, a finer group of people. They are wonderful people. And if an officer takes a human life, that is a difficult thing. 5 months or less, they will no longer be working in law enforcement. They're out of it. It's, you know, they're a ghost. And you know what ghosts do? Ghosts haunt. Because sometimes you'll find the term, suicide by cop. Everybody kind of knows what that is. Frequently, that's a good guy, a really good person that's having one absolutely terrible day. And so what do? They come up with a long-term solution to a short-term problem, and they force the police to take their life. And that erodes, because then you find out this person was actually a pretty good person, and it takes away from them. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit more about Blue Blitz and what we're doing and what you could do. You could hang blue ribbons tied in bows on trees, posts, the tops of railings, wherever they're visible. And wherever they're visible, make that ribbon, put them there, tie them up. A blue ribbon, show your support, people. You could have blow-up balloons. Now, some places even have star blow-up balloons in a blue metallic. And now in a perfect world, that's what you want. But you always can't get that. Get darker balloons, blow them up, tie strings to them, place them wherever people can see them, anywhere. There's no place you can't put them. Maybe in the windshield of your car when you're driving, that's not a really good thing. But outside of a few things like that, you want to use them. Now, another thing I read recently is people using blue painter's tape to put on your back window or on your bumper or on your house. And there's also something tied into that in some regard. It's something they call safe harbor. And there's two different definitions going around on this, and I guess they're both could be. One, people put either blue spray paint on their curb, and somebody says, oh, that's vandalizing city property. I guess, I don't know. But I guess you could put some heavy blue tape. If you use painter's tape on the curb, that'll come off, which is a good use painter's tape on your car because that comes off relatively easy. But you can spray it in blue and or use blue tape, and that lets people know, number one, they either have a safe harbor if ever they need to go in somewhere. And number two, I've heard it said also, that means whoever's there are there to back up the police. They're there to back up the police. They're there to show their act of support, to cover the cops' butt. And that's a good thing. You know, in law enforcement, all these figures, we got, you know, 750,000 people, 800,000 people. I don't know what we have. But when you look at days off and shifts and whatever, and people like administrators all work day shifts, you work a midnight shift or something, you don't have, you maybe got 100,000 people working across the nation. I mean, that's not a hell of a lot of people. So law enforcement can use all the help they could get from good, honest, law-abiding citizens. I mean, you know, I'm going through this list, and I want to hear what you say. You can give me a call. It's easy. All you have to do is dial 646-929-0909. I'll repeat that number, 646-929-0909, and give me a call. But, I didn't give you on that information on those shirts. You could order those, go to policesupporter.org, and we also have a great book. You want to find out what it's like to be in law enforcement in this nation? I submitted two stories, and I served as the editor for it in assembling the stories. I got stories from law enforcement people from all over the country, from men, from women, from federal, state, county, municipal agencies, different types of assignments, and it absolutely gives you a feeling of the fabric of policing in America. The book is called American Blue. You could go order the book. It's normally $24.95. We got it for $9.95, and you could order it from policesupporter.org, and it will give you a feeling what police officers go through across the nation, the good, the bad, the ugly. Some of the stories are funny. I like funny stories. I think having a sense of humor is a definite attribute that all police officers should have. If you've got a sense of humor, I think that's a big thing, because you're going to see the ugly side of humanity. You're going to see police officers. I was told, you know, they look at police officers, they're like social surgeons. They rid the cancer from the body of society. Well, people, let me tell you, most of the time cops are social proctologists. That's what part of the body they deal with on a regular basis. All right, we're going to get back to Operation Blue Blitz again. And again, you know, if you've got something to say, give me a call, 646-929-0909. 646-929-0909. This is Ed Nowicki on Police Talk Radio. All right, we covered up the balloons. Now, the painter's tape, put a strip inside your rear window bumper. Now, replace your porch light with a dark blue light bulb or your outside garage lights. What I did is I did both. And in addition to that, my son saw these, and he brought them to me as a present. I have solar-powered blue reflectors at the end of my driveway where I first come out onto the road, and the sun hits them all day and charges them up, and at night they glow a blue. Not, you know, anything will blind you, but they glow a blue light, which is kind of cool. All right, you could put a string also of these LED lights around your front window, porch, or outside in the bushes. They're little tiny LED lights. I saw a place that has them called 1,000 Bulbs. The problem is the lights are relatively cheap, but the shipping's like twice as much as what the lights are. So maybe you could buy a few strands of them, or get some people you know to order them, a whole bunch of them at once to cut down on the shipping costs. And I tried working with them, and they must be a big outfit. I leave messages and whatever, and people don't get back to me. I understand, but what can you do? Also, wear all blue, maybe on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, especially though on Saturday, on Thank a Police Officer Day. I'm sitting right here. I'm wearing my police supporter T-shirt. I figure I don't want to be a hypocrite, even though you can't see me. And I want you to understand, I have a face made for radio. People, when they looked at me, they say, you know, Ed, you got a face made for radio. I think that's good, but I'm still trying to figure that one out. Anywhere, do a random act of kindness for police officers. What do I mean like that? If you see an officer in a restaurant, pick up the tab. You see an officer, you know, they're behind you in a line somewhere, they're going to get some coffee to go or whatever, buy their coffee. Little things you can do like that just to say thanks. And I'm not saying only cops. I mean, if you see firemen, EMS people, you see people in the military, I do for all those people, and I try to do whatever I can. Even, you know, random acts of kindness. You're on the tollway, you know, in Illinois, I think every toll is about $85 a toll or whatever the hell it is. No, it's not that much. But whenever you go on the tollway, there's a car behind you, pay your toll, pay their toll too. Pay them both. What the heck? Random, pay it forward. Random acts of kindness. But it has a little more significance. We're talking about police officers. It has a little bit more significance. Now, drop off a thank you note. Now, one of the people that I actively work with is Caroline Allen. Caroline Allen is a wonderful lady. She had this on Facebook, supporting our troops and their families. But she is so pro-law enforcement. She has such a high opinion of law enforcement. Now, on Saturday, she's having some kind of a big ordeal, going to her police department, and she sent them around the country, 50 states around the country, all over the different police departments, sending them thank you cards and say thank you. And, you know, if you're in, you know, a neighborhood, thank you. Have everybody do it. Any teachers out there listening, have your kids buy a thank you card. Have them all sign it and drop it off at the police department. You know, Mrs. Jones, fifth grade class. Hey, nothing wrong with that. It's good if we start kids having a good, respectful image when they think of law enforcement. And one of the best ways, and I just think this is a fantastic program. Everybody's had it, just raves about it. School Resource Officer Program. That does so much goodwill and it establishes a rapport. Now, I get a little parental bragging. My son is a school resource officer. He had an officer recently, or a kid that he had in middle school. You know, my son's been doing it, quite a few years. I know well over 10. He had a young man, went to high school, went to college, graduated college, got a job working for my son's police department, all because of my son. And my son was there for his swearing-in ceremony. And these happen to school resource officers, not just my son, but people all over the country. They get invited to high school graduations. They get invited to weddings. It's unbelievable the connection you make. And school resource officers, a lot of kids are involved in, you know, petty crimes and vandalism and breaking school windows and breaking other windows. Well, that school resource officer, he could do a little bit of extra work there and find out and solve a lot of these, what I call nuisance problems in a community. Usually, you know, defaced mailboxes, cracked windows, broken windshield every so often, a BB hole in another window, graffiti somewhere. And a school resource officer is a great, great resource for the police department. In addressing crime and dealing with crime. All right, we're going to go back to our list here. All right, I'm getting Junebug gave me a break sign here. Junebug, all right, I'm breaking out of this, pal.
Well, Ed, I just think that it's time for you to take a little breather because you've been talking for 35 minutes straight now.
You're kidding.
Not much. No, it's weird. We're well through 35, coming up on 35 minutes of the show. The bottom line is, I think that tonight most of the people that supported us are watching the presidential debates on CNN.
Yeah, I got them. I got them on my video recorder. I got them.
So I think there's a few people that are probably not coming on to listen tonight because they're glued to the television to find out what's going on with that. But I just want to give you a little break. And you were talking about school resource officers, and you were talking about, you know, how people, you know, remember teachers and remember, you know, police officers and stuff like that. I got a little thing here that I want to give you a little break, but I got a little thing here that you may remember, I remember, but it kind of tears you up when you hear it. It's by a comedian named Red Skelton, but it's all about what you were just talking about. So let's just take a little break, and I'm going to play that for you right now.
All right, Jimmy. And that's Junebug. Yeah, I once want to call him Jimmy, too. When I rub his head, I call him Jimmy. Anyway, that's Junebug. He's my my executive producer and my chief electronics.
I remember
guy
a teacher that I had. Now I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to. This is true. I work in the summer. I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time. Anyhow, he had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell. He says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester. And it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may... May I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life, without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance. Under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?
All right, Ed, we can come right back out of that, but I thought it was pretty appropriate for kind of what you were talking about and kind of the theme of everything that's going on the show, so it's back to you.
Absolutely, Jimmy, and I remember Jimmy and I was one of the people that I had Jimmy and then my other good buddy Harvey, Junebug here, my other good buddy Harvey, we would do use of force instructor courses for law enforcement people all across the country. We went from California to Florida to Rhode Island to Texas. I mean, we went all over doing programs, and after 9/11, I started thinking about it. And I couldn't remember the last time I said the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America, to the flag of the United States of America. I couldn't remember it. And I don't know if you remember that, Jim. At that time, we said, this has to end. We got a flag, and every class we started off, I don't care who it was or where it was or however, we would say the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America. We would begin every training program in that way. And people, if you're involved in any civic groups, some start the civic groups, they start off with a Pledge of Allegiance. I don't think you could say the Pledge of Allegiance too often. If it starts getting too often, start thinking of the meaning of those words on exactly what they mean. As we just heard in that recording, we sometimes take this country for granted. We are the most wonderful country on the face of the earth, and we take sometimes what we have here for granted. We ought to be appreciative of what we have. I put a lot of airline miles. I had over 250,000 airline miles at one airline, another 250 with another airline. I flew a lot of places all over. And I talked to people, and I found some of the most patriotic people that know what this country's about are people that came from other countries that were trying to be U.S. citizens. And they just were glowing about this country. And we take it for granted too often. And that's something we do with our law enforcement officers. And we talk about the issues to our law enforcement officers. And we saw our mission, what we are supposed to do for people, is to ensure that they have liberties and freedoms. Not to take them away, but to ensure that they have them. Now, there's a lot of libertarians, you know, look at certain crimes and they say, well, there should be, you know, legalized marijuana, legalize all drugs. How you feeling that? That's not an issue to me right here. Not right now. But law enforcement officers, you got an understanding. They are given a responsibility. Now, I was a narcotics cop in Chicago. When I was a Chicago police officer, I had over 10 years on the job. My last six and a half or so, I was a detective in the narcotics section, a 24-year-old detective. And whether I agreed with the laws or not, that was my job to go out there and enforce these laws. And if I had a problem with that, I shouldn't have been in a narcotics unit. I should have went to, I don't know, the powder puff unit or something. I don't know. But I shouldn't have been in narcotics. In the narcotics section. But I saw people devastated. I saw their bodies devastated. I've seen people, young people now, the worst impact I ever seen on somebody physically is from heavy users of methamphetamine. It is absolutely horrible and devastating what that does to people. And if they're on it, it doesn't get better. It only gets worse. That's a fact of reality. And in one regard, I could say I understand libertarian. I understand I should have a say-so in what I put in my body. It's my body. But after a while, will this start affecting other people? Will they have to pay higher insurance rates? Will they, you know, have a greater obligation to put me under public assistance? And I look at, in our country, we got, I'll tell you what, entitlements. What we're entitled to? We're entitled to water and air. That's what we're entitled to. We get to breathe, we get to drink water. And everything that you do with that is up to you. And entitlements, close to 50% of the people in this nation are under some entitlement. What's wrong with this picture? Anyway, you're listening to Police Talk Radio. I'm Ed Nowicki, the host, Police Talk Radio. We're on Police Supporter on Facebook. We've been growing leaps and bounds. This show and our previous show, which we had a little technical difficulty with, this one is, so far as I know, it's going off pretty good. But our you could listen to the podcast. Go to Blog Talk Radio, Police Talk Radio, and the podcast is there. It's right there. You can listen to it. You can download it. You can do whatever you want with it. Last week's show, this week's show, we're going to have all of them listed. So if ever you have time where you have insomnia, you may want to download the show and you can listen to it. One thing I won't do, people, I don't think I'll put you to sleep because by nature I'm a high-energy person. And if I'm not coming across as high energy, something's wrong. Let me know. You know, I talk with people about these shows. Oh, Ed, you got to have a wonderful mission. That'll do it. No, what you have to have a great mission, but you have to have people want to listen to it. You have to believe in what you're doing. You have to give it with energy and enthusiasm. You don't sit here like some late-night FM easy listening music DJ and talk about everything smooth out here, and here's the next song that'll put you to sleep. You don't know. We don't do that. We do things it from our lips, but we speak it from our heart. Am I not right, Junebug?
You're absolutely correct, Ed. And just before I jump back off here, to find the show, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/police-talk-radio, and that's how you find us, and that's how you find the podcast of this show and many shows to come, I hope.
And we're going to archive all of them as podcasts. Take them, share them, give them away. I don't care what you do. I mean, copyright. I don't care what you do. Get them out there. You know what we're doing here. I had somebody say, "Oh yeah, you get public funding." I'm telling you, there is no public funding. All of this is out of pocket. My pocket or somebody else that's helped me out a little bit, but mainly my pocket. The vast majority is my pocket. What we're doing with Police Supporter and the whole effort that we're going through, the whole campaign of being a voice for law enforcement, of showing the good things that police officers do. And I put a little thing in on some of my posts that I do, on Police Supporter, I put a little asterisk, and I use PPN. Well, PPN, if you see that, Positive Police News. We don't do anything negative. The lame street media does much more than their share of anti-police and negative police news. If they can't say something good, they won't say it. And we're, nobody's perfect, but we try to emphasize the positive things of law enforcement, the good things that the men and women of law enforcement are doing, laying their lives on the line, going out there day in, day out, working the midnight shift. I'll tell you, I don't care what you're doing. There comes you work the midnight shift like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. There's that instant head bob, and then your mouth starts opening. They have a little drool. You got to understand. I don't know the significance, but you could be either a left drooler or right drooler. Nobody is directly down the middle of the mouth drooler. It's always from one side or another. But anyway, with this, what we're doing with Operation Blue Blitz, with all of these different things. Oh, I wanted to mention one thing. I just heard about something called Safe Harbor. I don't remember if I covered that. But Safe Harbor is relatively new. That's either I did cover that. The blue tape or blue on your curb, and it's either they have a refuge or somebody in there will back you up. And I guess it could mean either one or both or neat. I'm not quite sure on that. There's been no clarity on that. But we want you this week, I want everybody listening out here and spread the word among your friends, among your relatives, among your coworkers, people you know, just get it out there. Saturday is the pinnacle of this weekend coming up. Saturday is the exact pinnacle. Get out there and thank a police officer. Hopefully, you have a thank you card if you go into the police department. Bring some blue rolls of Lifesavers and thank them. I mean, if you don't have the blue Lifesavers, that's fine, but a thank you card. Express, say, you know what? They say police work is a thankless job, and you don't do it to get thanked. You just don't do it. You, most of the time, you won't get thanked. I don't care what you do, you won't get thanked. But when a police officer hears somebody tell them thank you, that has such an impact on them. And there's been some cases this week, so I think we're making headway with this, people. I think we're really making strides in what we want to do here on Police Talk Radio and through Police Supporter. I made an interesting post today on Police Supporter, and I want you to think about this first. Let's say we have police officers that are members of the Ku Klux Klan and the American Nazi Party. And on the other end of the spectrum, we have police officers that are members of the Black Panther Party and Black Lives Matter, the specific group, not the you know, not the thought of it, but the specific group by that name, the George Soros-funded outfit. Should we allow police officers to be a member of either group and not be fired? Should we? I don't know. I know there was a police chief in North Carolina the last few days. He published something how he considered the Black Lives Matter group a domestic terrorist group. And he made an intelligent plea on why he was saying that through logic. That they have strong proponents of various people in that of killing police officers. Of going out there and killing police officers. Whether they're black or white. I guess you get an extra, you get a gold star if they're white. Maybe you only get a blue star or a silver star if you're black. But and going out and killing police officers. It's ridiculous. That's what's being advocated. Panthers are pretty much the same way. Now, as far as I know, the American Nazis are a bunch of goof nuts, and so are the Ku Klux Klan. I could think of better things to do with a bed sheet. Like sleep on one and walking around looking like, you know, a relative of Casper the Friendly Ghost. What you want to do is look at this. Do we allow police officers to be members of these groups? Or if they speak out against either group, is that allowed? Does the police chief, because by nature, the police chief is, by the very title, maybe, the voice of the police department. And if that chief is speaking out against the group Black Lives Matter and calling them a domestic terrorist group, people could logically conclude that that's the police department's position, whether it is or it isn't. But he is taking an early retirement.
Hello, can I take a call?
All right, we got a caller here on the line, Jimmy? Jubug?
Yes.
Are you there? Somebody on the line?
Hang on, Ed.
All right. We got this technical thing going on, and it's working. It's working. We got to find out our pitter patter. We're gonna have somebody. Junebug can't be forever because he's a full time railroad police officer.
Caller's on the line, Ed.
Okay, who we have on the line here?
It's Brian.
Brian, hello, Brian. Now this is a gentleman that I've known for many years, and. So, Brian, what do you have to say, my friend?
Well, I just now got on here, and I didn't really catch a lot of what y'all were talking about. I just thought I'd sit in for a while, see what you're talking about, and put my 2 cents worth in.
Well, I am all excited. Brian and I have been talking since last week,
right?
And we have on our website a blog. Now, I don't know anything about a blog. I didn't know. You know, I went in this thing charging like I do into most things, full speed ahead, damn the torpedoes, look out, you know, and I don't even know what the heck I'm doing, but I'm going into it. It's just the way I do it. It's either you get 110% or the off switch. It's one or the other. And I talked with Brian, and Brian is a talented writer. He wrote a column for years called Officer Down, where he would analyze shootings where officers were shot and killed and look over all the factors involved with it. I mean, you talk about – I know there's – I saw criminal investigations that were not as detailed and as analytical as what Brian wrote about. Now, Brian is going to be starting next week. Brian's going to be our blogmaster. And he's going to post his something, usually about 1,000 words or so, once a week. Get your comments. And if he sees anything else throughout the week, he'll put something again. Now, you need to register. You go to policesupporter.org. And we're working out that technical area. But Brian, I am – and Brian, just to tell you a little bit, he's retired as a lieutenant in the greater St. Louis area, not far from Ferguson, Missouri, by the way. And – we are so happy to able to get Brian, to have him be a part of the police supporter team, Brian. And I am, I know our listeners and the people that follow us on Police Supporter on Facebook and everything, and the police officers, retired officers, pro police people are going to love what you're going to do with the blog, Brian.
Well, I just want to do my part. I mean, I think like every cop in the country, and I still think of myself as a cop, even though I've been retired for almost 8 years. But I think every cop in the country's been troubled by what happened in Ferguson and the aftermath of it, and just the way cops are just getting brutally criticized by ignorant people who don't know what they're talking about, and I don't know if they care. I just want to do my part to help cops be better. I want to do my part to make sure that people understand more cops' perspective on things sure there's some bad cops out there. We're human, but the fact is the vast majority of us are out there going out there just trying to do the best job we can in a very tough job. We care about the people that we serve in our communities, and we just want to serve them and keep them safe and keep their property safe. And it seems like everything we do is getting questioned now, and I just want to do my part to try to reverse that, to bring some understanding.
You know, what we're trying to do, Brian, and you know this, and our listeners, we're trying to set a new tone. That's what we want to do, right. Or at least maybe not a new tone, an alternative tone, because I certainly don't like the alternative tone that I consider the main tone now by the left-leaning media, by various special interest groups, and by the deafening lack of support of law enforcement from the White House, including local politicians like Bill de Blasio, which, by the way, that's his third name. He was born Warren Wilhelm Jr., and, Kaiser Wilhelm, I think, was in his blood. I'm not sure. But anyway, he had three name changes. I checked it out. I mean, these guys are a bunch of phonies. And you get some of these politicians don't want to make political hay at the cops' expense, Brian.
Oh, yeah, they do. We got our own right here in Missouri. Our governor did a great disservice to the police and immediately jumping on the bandwagon, anti-police rhetoric, automatically assuming that Officer Wilson had murdered this would-be cop killer. He didn't endear himself to the police, and that didn't help the situation. We had a president that obviously doesn't like police, and then we had Holder, who should have been standing up there and crying for law and order and saying, let's be reasonable about this, but they just added fuel to the fire. And then we had this this captain come down here from the Highway Patrol that really took the side of the protesters. Also, it seems like they come out of the woodwork at a time like that. And you're right; it's agenda.
Thing seems to be in vogue right now that if you cop bash, that's a good thing. That'll set you straight with everybody. And the rumor had it that your governor of Missouri was up for a new position of chief harem guard over in Saudi Arabia. Any truth to that?
I wish he had.
No, I understood he passed the physical too. He wears a little cape on his collar. Instead of the American flag, he's got a little cape on there.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
I don't know whether you caught it or not, but there was a very somber announcement made by the de Blasio administration earlier last week. Bill Bratton announced that he's suffering from Alzheimer's, and he will be retiring shortly.
No, I'm sorry to hear that. He was he really straightened New York out. Him and Rudy Giuliani with the broken windows theory. I mean, don't allow broken windows. Don't allow graffiti. They're jumping turnstiles. Get to them. And he made those two turn to New York from being like a sub ghetto slum in downtown Manhattan to a sparkling place to attract tourists from all over the world because of what they did in established. Well, Bratton left and he went to L.A., and Rudy kept on going on. He had some good people in there, Bernie Carrick and the likes, and they did an outstanding job. And there's no doubt by the tone set by Bill de Blasio and Al Sharpton and Eric Holder ended up causing. They were big contributors to the death of Officer Ramos and the death of Officer Lou, who were assassinated while they were sitting in their patrol cars through inflammatory rhetoric, and it was just sickening. And even what they're some of the groups now, Officer Goforth in Houston, the same thing. He was assassinated by a coward with inflammatory rhetoric being spewed out from groups like Black Lives Matter, and that's fact. That is an opinion. That's fact. They spew out hate. You could look it and you could tell. No ifs, no ands, no buts. All we're trying to do is level the playing field a lot here on Police Talk Radio, Brian. That's all we want to do.
Well, and the sad thing is, really, as I try to remind myself of this, some things from my own career remind me occasionally of it, and that's that most people in this great country really do support their police. They want us there. They want us to be there for them. They appreciate the risks that we take and the sacrifices we make to keep them safe. They respect us, but it's these loudmouths, these agenda-driven politicians and media that's making that job so much harder, and the citizens are the ones that are going to suffer. I mean, obviously, the risks to the police have increased, and that makes me sick to my stomach, but the citizens, the good citizens, are going to suffer too.
Richard Nixon came up with a term, and I think is absolutely apropos here, called the silent majority. And I think most of the people out there are part of the silent majority. But you know what, people? You no longer can be silent. You have to be heard. You have to show that you want law and order in your community. You want good officers. And another term is a relatively new term that I heard bantered around recently, radio cops. Cops are so scared right now of getting on some video or mistaken or whatever that they don't act. If they used to be good, hardworking cops, check out suspicious people, get bad guys, get guns, get bad guys with guns, go all kinds of things. Now they're becoming radio cops. What does that mean? You answer your radio calls, and then unfortunately, you pretty much drive around with blinders on because then you can't get into trouble. That is a terrible indictment of what society has put upon our law enforcement people.
Well, and the thing is that police work's one of those rare jobs where you get paid the same whether you work hard or not, and it's just so much safer to do nothing and to just answer your radio calls. And I can see that's the direction that we're going. And I think a lot of officers go out there with the idea in mind that they're not going to become radio cops. But when it gets right down to the nitty gritty, you don't want to take that risk. And we all live with the risk of being killed or badly hurt. I don't think we've all accepted that risk as police officers, but I think the thing that frightens a cop more than anything is to be the possibility of going to prison for doing the right thing, the thing that he has to do to keep himself safe.
You look at what happened in Ferguson with Officer Wilson and that thug who forcibly robbed a guy with cigars or cigarillos or whatever from his store shortly earlier. Well, they said Officer Wilson didn't know that, but that tells you something about the violent mindset of that person. I don't want to mention the names. I don't like to keep their names alive. But if Officer Wilson did anything wrong, trust me, he would have been indicted by the Justice Department. They would have had his there. And he was they microanalyzed him. And if they couldn't do anything, I'm telling you what Officer Wilson did was absolutely within the realm of reasonable, Brian.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't think there's any cop that paid attention that doesn't realize that. Matter of fact, I often tell people I knew it from the first minute that his buddy opened his big mouth. The story that was told was so outlandish. As soon as this guy said that Wilson just walked up and put his arms around his neck and tried to pull him in the police car, I knew that was a lie. I think we all...
I can't...
Yeah.
Confirmed. It's going. I can't believe it. We're about done, people. I love you. I love you. I love you. Listen to us here on Police Talk Radio. We're going to have plenty of interesting guests. We're so glad to get Brian McKenna with us. You guys are wonderful. You guys are great. I look forward to being with you next weekend, but I'll be around all the time on Police Supporter on Facebook. So see me there, visit me there, and then we'll have our Brian McKenna doing his the blog on policesupporter.org on our website. Lots of good things ahead for us, people. Stay with us.
Okay, guys, we're out of here.
Guy, I can't believe that, Jimmy. Brian, this seemed like a 3-minute show.
Brian, you
probably
there?
Dropped.
No,
I think he probably dropped.
On the board, but, okay.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy. Thank you so much, man. This one seemed to go a little bit better with the pacing and the verbiage.
Oh, absolutely. But I could hear your voice was weakening a little bit when that's when I played the Red Skelton thing.